Amen. Daniel chapter 2, please. We go through a lot of things, do we not, within our lives. A lot of those things just knock out the props from underneath us. It all depends how you come out of that. Maybe nothing's happened to you so far. Trust me, it's coming. Things happen within life. I'm glad that God's ready for it. Because He can go with you through that. It all depends on your attitude about what has happened within your life, of how you're going to come out of that. You're either going to come out on top or on the bottom. That'll be up to you. Daniel chapter 2, follow as I read. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled. And the sleep brake from him. And the king commanded to call the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers. And the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king, Siriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards, great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation of it. The Chaldeans answered before the king, and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, or ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. And for this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Now drop down to verse 22. And it says, as Daniel was speaking, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto thee the king's matter. And then verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, astrologers, and magicians, the soothsayers, show unto thee. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon the bed are these. What is happening here? The king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. What if I said that to you? What if I said to you, I had a dream last night, but I forgot what it was. So you tell me what I dreamt. How are you going to do that? That's a good one. That's what was happening. And the king said, you either tell me what I dreamt last night, or you're dead. All of the wise men are dead. By the way, Daniel was the chief of the wise men, and he's the one that schooled all of the wise men of Babylon. And years later, in Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, yeah, and then after he was born, went to Nazareth. And they were in the house. The wise men came from the east, Babylon. So that's all connected in. Just to give you a little background of what's going on. So you see what has happened. And when they came to take Daniel and kill him, for no reason, he wasn't even involved in this, he asked, why is he so hasty? Now the king wouldn't give the wise men time to figure it out, but he did give Daniel time to be able to go to God. And that God would show him what another man dreamt the night before. Oh, you talk about a miracle. It's going to take God to do that, my friend. You know, Daniel, all the way through his life, he trusted the Lord. He trusted God. He had a right relationship with God. He wasn't a rebel. He's the one that adjusted himself to the surroundings. He was a captive taken out of Jerusalem when the temple was destroyed. They were all taken to Babylon in 586 B.C. And so his parents and him, just as a teenager, followed along. But you know, God's hand was on Daniel. God had great things for Daniel. Daniel could see and understand some things that other men could not. Turn back a page to chapter 1 and verse 8. It tells us a little about Daniel. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Here he was, under the command of the king and the eunuchs, and they had certain food that they ate, and it wasn't in his diet, and he wasn't going to change it. He wasn't going to defile himself by what he ate and drank. In other words, here's a teenager that had standards. Here's a teenager that had some morals. He wasn't wishy-washy. He could have just given an excuse for everything, you know. Oh, well, not my fault, it's my parents' fault. Huh? How many teenagers do that these days? They go to some psychiatrist or something. Oh, yeah, it goes right back to the parents and everything. It's their fault. He took responsibility for everything. And he was in the will of God. How important it is for your life to be in the will of God. You don't know when you're going to be put in a position to be used by God that other people will see God's hand is upon you. And that you are a godly person, a righteous man or woman. He was to be killed. If you're going to be used by God, expect persecution. Expect people to lie about you, gossip about you, tell untruths about you, and so forth, all of that. You see, the whole thing is that the closer that you draw to God, the greater the conflict in your life. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells you that you will have persecution. Those that live righteously for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you can expect that. Psalm 73, we were talking about this in adult Sunday school this morning. In verse 3 it says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Yeah. What happened? He got his eyes off of Jesus. David did. Back there in Psalm 73. That's why I constantly point you to only look at Jesus. Don't look at any man or religion or anything else, even the circumstances. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep focused when you're going through whatever may come to you. He wasn't having a pity party. And so, there's a lesson for us to learn. Hebrews 12:6 talks about things coming into our life too. Because you don't know why they're there. What do we do when something happens in our life and just puts us upside down? What's the first word you say? Why? Why did this happen to me? Hebrews 12:6 also says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Mm-hmm. Maybe something's coming into your life because God's chastening you for something. Only you would know what that is. Because no one else would know about it. But God certainly would. There's two things. You can either claim yourself a victim or a victor. If you look inwardly, you say, "Oh, poor me, I'm a victim of this thing that has come into my life." But if you look up, you will claim yourself as a victor over this thing that's in your life. It may be sickness, it may be cancer, it may be cold, it may be something else, maybe finances, maybe somebody died. Maybe the house burned down. I don't know. There are things that happen in life we don't expect, and all of a sudden we're thrown into this thing. What are you going to do? Are you going to be a victim, or are you going to be a victor? Are you going to be on top, or are you going to be on the bottom coming through this thing? Go to Romans. Keep your place here. Just put your bulletin in here. We'll be coming back to it later. Romans chapter 8. Familiar verse to all of us. But it's so important. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28 tells us, for whom he did for, or we know that all things work together. For good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. What? God has a purpose? What? This thing that came into your life has a purpose? It just happened. No reason. There's always a reason. Because there's always a purpose. And you can claim that verse. I hope you have it outlined and you know it well. Romans 8, 28. We know. I like that word, know. I'm glad I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And living life down here on earth, we can know that all of these things that come together in our life, they'll come together for good. Do you love God? Are you called? Are you trying to go your way, or are you going God's way? He's got a purpose. He allowed this thing to come in. It's no accident. So that position is what's going on. Did you ever notice how easy it is for you to mess up your life? Huh? We see that with teenagers all the time, don't we? But it happens to older teenagers too. 40, 50, 60, you know. Because you've made your own purpose and you're not looking for God's purpose. If you were looking for God's purpose, all of that that's happening is going to work together to come out into God's purpose. According to his purpose is what it says. So it's important not to just sit around and feel sorry for yourself or because of the pressure and stress just to quit and then your life become bitter. You know, that's kind of what's taught in our nation, you know. That, oh, poor you, you're a victim. And boy, we got the Black Lives Matter. We got all of the different things that come up, and they start something new. You know, poor old folks, and they give to them all of the Medicare kind of stuff and everything else, rather than people taking responsibility for their own life. Amen. You know what's most important in this life is you and God. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. You're accountable to him. Okay. And so the government doesn't own you. God owns you. You're saved. You're redeemed. You're bought back. You're adopted, brother. You're in his family. Not only were you born again into his family, the legal thing is adoption. Amen. So you get all of the privileges of your father that'll give you. You know, when you get have something blindside you, just knock you off your feet. Boom! It's a shock. It's a shock to you. I don't know if you've had something happen to you in your life, but I do know that life's full of it. When these things do, look out. You see, wicked things do happen. This old world, it has different words to use about life. But we can say as Christians, yeah, wicked things do happen. And they can hurt you. Everybody gets hurt. People hurt you. People disappoint you. Let you down. And you kind of think, woe is me, and so I'm going to do this crazy thing or that thing or run away or whatever it is. As a victim. Rather than staying and letting God change you so you have victory within your life. When all of the dust settles, who's going to be standing? I hope it's you. I hope it's you that will learn here from Daniel. He had his world upset, being taken as a slave and everything else. Wow. No matter how much that we're hurt by things in life, circumstances in life, there is one that can heal. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit." Spirit, attitude. What kind of attitude do you have going through that thing? Are you mean as a snake? Or are you like a Christian? Psalm 147:3 says, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Amen. Even Jesus said when he came in the temple, Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised." Amen. You can get bounced around in life pretty good, huh? Some of us have had the situation where we have fallen down. Especially we that are a little older. Equilibrium has something to do with that, maybe. We'll fall down a hill. We'll fall out of a tree. Maybe we'll fall down some stairs. Mrs. Drake, she fell down the stairs here at church. And I've fallen down stairs as well. I've even got witness to that. Head over heels. Things happen. And sometimes in life, wicked things happen. But you know, Daniel purposed in his heart. Is that what we read in Daniel 1:8? He was practicing. We need to take from Daniel these three things I want to show you. Four things this morning real quickly. Is that Daniel purposed? Daniel was proven. And Daniel was practicing. The first thing is, God brings these things and allows these things to come into your life because of testing of faith. The testing of faith. Go to James chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1. Right after Hebrews, of course. God always tests our faith. It's one of the reasons these things happen to us. James chapter 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A testing of faith. God's interested in that in your life. Maybe this thing came into your life to test you. He did that with Israel. He didn't use the word test, he used the word prove. To prove you. Anything that is worthwhile has to be tested. I mean, if you build a bridge across the river, you better test it to see if it's going to hold the weight. Okay? The same with a house or whatever you're doing. Test what is you're trusting in. It has to be tested. And he tests each one of us. Back in Genesis 22, he said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. You talk about a test of faith. We talk about Abraham being the father of faith, the father of the Jews. When it comes to your own child, something very close to you, isn't it? And that's what he asked of Abraham. Was Abraham going to obey God or not? God was deliberately testing Abraham. And sure enough, when it came right to the last second, the angel pointed him to the ram in the thicket and offered the ram instead of the son. You see, God always has an answer. But he's waiting to see what you're going to do. Because he wants you to prove it to yourself and he wants you to prove it to God. The kind of Christian who walks around and says, oh, I don't have to prove anything to anybody. You get that kind of spirit. I got news for you. If you're a born-again Christian, you got a lot to prove. Prove to people all around you. You're trying to witness to other people. You better prove your life true. Don't be a bad testimony before others. Be the best that you can. Well, you get the wrong attitude about all of that thing, and it's just going to make it worse. I'm trying to point you to what Daniel did and how that he was raised because of that. He came out a victor, not a victim. He came out on top. How about David? God tested David. God gave him the strength and wisdom to kill a bear, to kill a lion, and then the biggest test, the giant, Goliath. You know, when he swung that thing around, that sling, and let go, God guided that rock. That was a miracle. Went ahead and killed that Goliath, cut off his head. What a wonderful thing. Hezekiah, He got all of the riches and everything. Tells you about it in 2 Chronicles 32, 29. God gave him all kinds of stuff. But then he got, two verses later, he got his eyes on other people. On the wicked. How easy it is to fall. You're not invincible, that's for sure. We're just men and women. We're just flesh. Jesus said, that which is flesh is flesh. That's it. This is as simple as you can put it. That's the whole thing that was going on. You see, God's not against you having money. God's against money having you. Controls your life. God is the only one that is the Lord. Even with Peter, the test came in John 21. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? God had him prove it to him. He said, feed my sheep. Do something if you truly love me. Important that you do. Why did Bob Hughes at 45 years old get cancer and die? Do you know what? God got the victory. Why did another preacher's wife become vegetative for years? Well, God got the victory because they didn't become a victim. Why did Bill Borden die at 26 years of age on the way to the mission field? They found in his Bible something written. No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. It's important for you to see the things that come into your life. They're not accidents. God has a purpose. God's got a plan for you within your life. Don't mess up the plan. Whatever comes, you can be the victor over that. You don't have to be a victim. Realize where it's all coming from. The Lord knows everything. You don't. So the first thing, the testing of faith. The second thing is the testing of friendship. The testing of friendship. Right here in the book of James that I had you go to. Look at verse 4, or chapter 4. Chapter 4 and in verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If you got a good friend, you're blessed. Not too many good friends out there. Even in marriage. In a marriage, if your husband or your wife is your friend, you can count on them, you're blessed. That marriage will last. That marriage will be blessed. Even in the book of Revelation, Jesus said that there was a church that left its first love. A church that walked away from God. I've known Christians. Some come into their life. Disappointment, marriage come apart. They were out of church, out of reading their Bible, doing anything. They walked away from God. Never truly saved. Is there going to be a day when they stand in judgment at the judgment seat of Christ? Even Demas. Demas says, forsaken me, having loved this present world. He made the world his friend. Don't let the world be your friend, friend. Realize what the world is. The whole world lieth in wickedness. That's all you see. All of the commercials and everything you even see on TV, you can't even watch a good episode of something. They've got the homosexual in there and all kinds of stuff going on. I just mute it, turn away from it. You know, because you can't get rid of it. That's what this old world is. Watch out about friendship. It's a test of friendship. Will you come out as a victim or as a victor in that? And the last thing is the test of transforming. The test of transforming. Here's the saying you want to remember. The most like Christ you'll be is when you're going through the darkest valley. How are you going to come out of that terrible thing that happened in your life, or your family, or your finance, or whatever it is? How are you going to come out of that? As a victim? Just wipe you out? Or are you going to come out a victor? We love to sing victory in Jesus, don't we? I'm afraid we don't know what goes into that. Jesus will give you the victory through anything within your life. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Book of Romans, chapter 12. So you had the testing of faith, the testing of friendship, and now a testing of transformation. The testing of transforming. Romans chapter 12, and in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did I just say that you got something to prove? Yeah, the Bible tells you. He wants you to be transformed. You don't get sucked into this problem that you have within your life. You go ahead and come to the top. The cream always rises to the top. Amen. So it's all depending on your attitude when you go through this thing. I'm sure you've seen others that have had catastrophes come into their life. And boy, you just don't hear from them anymore. I mean, they just disappear. I mean, they're gone doing their own thing, but they sure not following God. They're victims because they consider themselves victims. Rather than staying the course, keeping the faith like Paul did, and being a victor. You can have victory no matter what comes into your life. Life will throw all kinds of things to you. God even used, in the Old Testament, God used famine in Joseph's life to bring a family back together. Famine. You don't know what famine is. You haven't gone without food. You can't get food. There wasn't any rain. They couldn't get any crops. That's why it was all in God's plan for Joseph to be taken to Egypt. And he used Joseph's family to do it. And the famine was the key to the whole thing. How did Joseph come out? A victor. He came out on top. What a blessing. God always wants to do that. Oh, but I've lost everything. What? Who's the one that lost everything in the Bible?
Job.
The oldest book in the Bible. You know what Job's attitude was? Job 1:21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. How's that attitude? Yeah, he suffered through everything. But he kept his heart right with God. No thanks to his friends. Job also said in Job 2:10, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. Talking to his wife, he said, what shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Yeah, bad things will happen in your life. It all depends how you're going to come through that. As we studied Daniel chapter 2 this morning, it shows that. You know, when Joseph was finally over there in under Pharaoh, and he was in charge of all of the food, that's what everybody wanted, his brothers came. The 11 brothers came to get food. They didn't know it was their brother Joseph that was in charge of the food. God turned that thing all around. The worst upset, being a slave, being falsely accused and imprisoned, God turned that thing. You'll never see Joseph in prison having a pity party for himself, talking bad about others or anything else. He knew God was in control somehow. 13 years he suffered. And finally his brothers are brought to him. He didn't go to his brothers. They came to him. You know what he said? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Maybe that'll help you go through. Maybe something you're going through right now. Maybe it's something that's going to be in the future. I want you to remember this message. I want you to remember that God is still. Hey, what did Daniel say at the very end? There is a God in heaven. No matter what comes into your life, there is a God in heaven. Having the attitude to go through that will be a blessing to you and a blessing to others as well. Are you willing to be transformed in your life because of what came into your life? I pray that that will be the outcome, that you'll come out on top and not on the bottom. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are powerful and that you have the answers when we don't have the answers. The world doesn't have the answers. Lord, help us to love you. As Jesus said to Peter, do you love me more than these? Help us to put you first in everything within our lives. No excuses. Worship you no matter what we're going through. Thank you that you are the miracle-working God. Help us to understand and bless that to our life in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Take your...